And the text says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. The word of our God. The title of my message today is A New Song. A New Song. We're revisiting this familiar psalm. It's one of those passages in scripture that feeds our souls when we read it and share it with each other. With this move to virtual worship, many churches and Christians have been struggling about the witness of the church. We have been scrambling to figure out ways to, on the one hand, maintain fellowship and worship, and yet, on the other hand, spread the gospel to the unchurched and to the unsaved. Thank God for social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and even meeting programs like Zoom, because those give us an opportunity to remain connected and an opportunity for vehicles for outreach. The Barna Group, a research and resource institute, did a survey on evangelistic strategies, and their data showed that the overwhelming majority of teens and adults are led to faith by a family member or friend. Personal relationships are the most important vehicles for leading persons to faith in Christ. The data indicate that lifestyle evangelism and interactive conversations are more effective than bringing folk to a church service, to a revival, evangelistic service, or even handing out evangelistic materials. Not that those things aren't important, it's just that how we live and what we say in our personal relationships have a much greater impact upon the unchurched and the unsaved. And the reason is, in our personal relationships and interactive conversations, we share our faith stories. We share our journeys. And that's good news during this pandemic. I think that we sometimes minimize the power of relationships and the power of one's own story. When we share our stories and talk about our experiences with God, we don't have to give long, elaborate dissertations. Our stories can be short and concise, but powerful. Thank God for media platforms that give us the opportunity to share our stories and to build connections and relationships with other people. At Ebenezer, we've hired a social media specialist to help us maximize our efforts to tell our stories. Our text for today is a beautiful example of a short, concise testimony of a person's experience with God. Psalm 40 is a thanksgiving psalm. The speaker shares his testimony during a service of thanksgiving. One part of the service is dedicated to the human audience composed of family and friends. The speaker shares his testimony with family and friends. The purpose is to testify, but the impact is evangelistic. Listen again to this short story. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. This is a simple, concise, but powerful testimony. The speaker doesn't go into some elaborate lesson on faith and the scriptures. The speaker doesn't try to be too deep about his theology. Instead, he just uses three powerful metaphors he knows will connect with families, his family and his friends. So let's look at what he says more closely. First, the writer talks about being in a pit. The text says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. Stop right there. The speaker doesn't tell us the specifics of his situation. He just describes it as a slimy pit. So the pit becomes a metaphor for his troubles. He says, in effect, life had me in a pit. And he calls the pit the mud and the mire. The King James Version calls it the miry clay. We've heard that through the years, the miry clay. It suggests a swampy clay like quicksand. And this suggests that the speaker is in a situation where he is stuck. He's in a situation where he is sinking. He's in a situation where his feet have no solid foundation upon which to stand. And I think it's a powerful metaphor. With a few words, he describes his situation in a way that his family and friends can relate. We all know what it's like when you're in a pit. Sometimes life can put you in a hole with nothing secure beneath your feet. Sometimes life has us in a pit. We try to reach up. We try to pull ourselves up, but we are surrounded by the slime of our existence. Without a rope and without a way up, we just sink further down. So when the speaker is talking about being in a pit, he is saying, in effect, some of the circumstances in his life have pulled him down. And I tell you, life will pull you down. And sometimes you might think that the persons to whom you can look for support will be there to support you. But sometimes when you're in the pit, when life has pulled you down, you find you're all by yourself with nobody to help, with nobody to toss in a rope. This hurricane season, which is not yet over, has been rough already on folk in the Gulf region. We have gone from one hurricane to another and one tropical storm to another. And folk are trying to recover from the damage of one storm, then another storm rolls in and brings more damage. One of our members shared with us how one family had to go to the home of another family member to sit out the storm because their house was in the path of the storm. And their house got destroyed. Well, when the next storm rolled in, the house that they had gone to for shelter was in the path of that storm. And that house got destroyed. So two houses in one family got destroyed by two different storms. I tell you, life will put you in a rough situation. Families are left without homes, without resources. They are sifting through the rubble and the debris, trying to salvage their belongings. They've lost their possessions. They've lost their loved ones. Life has brought them down. And they're in a pit. And many of our family members right now, we all have some family members who are in a pit. And some of you watching our worship today are in a pit right now. Some of you are going through a storm in your life. And that's what the speaker is addressing in our text. One thing I like about this description of the pit is what he says he does about it. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. In other words, his pit experience does not wipe out his faith. He trusts God in the pit. He prays in the pit. He demonstrates some pit protocol that when you're in a pit, that's not the time just to give up. That's the time to trust God. That's the time to call upon God in prayer. So he's in this pit. Light has brought him down, but the pit doesn't eradicate his faith. So he starts with the metaphor about being in the pit, and then he moves to talking about being on a rock. The text says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And here is what it says about the rock. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. So that another metaphor for this speaker is on a rock. His testimony doesn't end with the pit because he waits for the Lord and the Lord delivers him. God puts him on a rock. The text says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit. Life brought him down, but God brought him up. And the speaker doesn't give the specifics of his trouble. He doesn't tell us what they are, but whatever they are, God delivers him. The speaker describes this deliverance as being on a rock. God not only lifts him out, but also puts him on a rock. And the rock suggests safety. The rock suggests security. The rock suggests sure footing. The writer now has his bearings. He can feel the foundation beneath his feet. He knows he's not going down now because he's standing on a rock. Being on the rock is different from being in the pit, beloved. In the pit, you're desperate, but on the rock, you're confident. In the pit, you take in the mess, the slimes, the smells, and the stench. But on a rock, you can exhale and breathe fresh air again. The writer says, he put me on a rock. And I like what the King James says in this section. The King James says, he established my goings. I like that translation because it tells me that God lifts him up and God keeps him going. God enables him to go on with his life and to make it. And that's what I want you to know today. We serve a God that can keep us going. We serve a God who will not only lift us out, but, and not only give us sure footing, but he'll help us to keep on going from day to day. I know you know what I'm talking about, because some of you are still going on by the grace of God. Were it not for God, you would not have made it. But God kept you going. At the presidential debate, our president mocked his opponent for always wearing masks. He says, every time I see him, he's got a mask on. And when the president's entourage walked in that day, they came in with masks on, but most of them later removed their masks. And now we're told the president and his wife have the coronavirus. He's in Walter Reed Hospital. And many others, including staff and reporters, have contracted the virus from being connected to the president. And of course, we wish him and his family well. But I would say to the president, sometimes our words come back to bite us in the behind. And I'm sure that the president doesn't want the medical professionals at Walter Reed Hospital and the world community to do as he suggested in the debate about the white supremacist group. He suggested they just stand back and stand by. I'm sure he doesn't want the medical doctors to stand back and stand by right now. The lesson is, we cannot walk around as if we're invincible. We cannot walk around as if we are in charge of our destiny. We have to remember that the Lord God rules in the kingdom of men. God sets up those God chooses and God pulls down those God chooses. We have to remember that only God can establish our goings. The Bible says, unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh in vain. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. When your family and friends know your story, they realize the grace and goodness of God in establishing your goings. When they know your story, you sow a seed into their hearts and the Holy Ghost begins to work in their hearts for faith. And that's why the text says many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. One more thing. The writer talks about being in the pit, and he talks about being on a rock, and then he talks about singing a new song. What another metaphor. He says, he hath put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. What a powerfully descriptive metaphor for deliverance, a new song. As a speaker reflects upon his experience, where he was, where he is right now, what God has done, and what God is doing, he builds toward this powerful metaphor, a new song. Deliverance has shaped him. His experience has shaped him, shaped his faith, shaped his perspective, and shaped his theology. God has given him a new song. First, God gave him a new station. He took him from the pit to the rock. And then God gave him a new life. He established his goings. And now, as a result of his new station and his new life, he has given a new song. When the writer says a new song, it isn't necessarily a song that he doesn't know. It might be a new look at an old song. Virtual worship doesn't introduce us to worship. We already know about worship. We're just worshiping in a new way. New refers to how the experience has shaped him. And that's why telling your family and friends about your story is so powerful. They get to understand how your story has shaped your life, how it shaped your existence. The new song means that God has renewed his faith, that God has renewed his spirit. The new song is about a new attitude. God has shaped him on the inside and given him an expanded view of faith. Sometimes when you're in the pit, beloved, you can only see the slime around you. But it's not until God delivers you and lifts you out that your view of life is expanded. Sometimes you stand up like the songwriter says, my soul looked back and wondered how I got over. You don't even understand what God has done, but God will give you a new expanded view of your life. That's what this new song is about. He had a song in the pit, but now he's got a new song. He sees God in a bigger and a better way. And when you stand and talk about what God has done and how God has changed your life, it makes all the difference in the world. This new song is a testimony. It is the praise report. His story was what was happening in the pit and on the rock, but the new song is the praise report and the testimony. I told the Noonday Bible study a couple of weeks ago about a woman who lost her job because of the pandemic. And maybe I told you too in a sermon, I don't remember, so you'll get it again. She lost her job because of the pandemic. Her company decided to cut the staff to remain afloat. This woman was angry about losing her job. She was so angry that she became ill. She couldn't sleep. She couldn't eat. She was in a pit. She went to her doctor because she had become so sick. Her blood pressure was, as my late grandmother would say, sky high. She was so sick. But when she went to the doctor, the doctor examined her, and then the doctor discovered a lump. And then they said, well, you've got this lump over here. We need to have it tested. They gave her a biopsy, which determined that the lump was cancerous. And the doctor told her, thank God you came at the right time. We can get this whole thing out. And they were able to remove her cancer completely, and she is expected to make a full recovery. And the woman said in her testimony, if I had not gotten fired, if I had not gotten angry because I was fired, I might not have gone to the doctor so soon. And they might not have been able to remove all of my cancer. So she said, now I'm thanking God for getting fired. I've got a new perspective. I've got a new song. I see God differently in what he's doing in my life, beloved. Sometimes it's not until God blesses you that you realize what you thought was a problem was really a blessing in disguise. What you really thought was a mountain was really something that God was using to give you a new song. I know we're in a rough situation. This year has been different and difficult. We've gone through a lot this year. 2020 will go down in history. It's one of the most difficult years we've seen in the world. We've gone through a lot, but God has been faithful and God has been good. So I'm encouraging you, members and friends, to tell your story. Share your testimony. Tweet it out. Put it on Facebook. Put it on YouTube. Send an email. Don't just send updates about where you are that day. And what your new outfit looks like and what you're going to have for dinner. Tell somebody about the grace of God in your life and let somebody know how God has worked in your life. Send a video and let a family member or a friend see your testimony and sing your new song. Start singing a new song. Stop complaining about the pandemic. Singing songs like Lena Horne used to sing. They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. It's time to sing a song of praise, a song of hope, a song of deliverance, a song of glory to God. It's time to sing a new song, a song that says, I don't feel no ways tired. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Now sing a new song.
Yes, sir.
Let me say this in my paper. I was talking to my younger son recently. That's the son you prayed for. That's the son who a little over 2 years ago had sort of a breakdown. In California, my wife and daughter went to pick him up. They got him out of the hospital and brought him to Texas. And we took care of him for about 3 months till he got himself together. Ah, glory to God. And that son is fine now. Thank you, Lord. He's gone back to California. He's been working a job for 2 years. He's in management. He's making good money. He's paying his own rent. He's paying his own car note. You parents know. Thank the Lord for that. Ah, listen, but that son and I were talking the other day about all that he had gone through, how he was under so much pressure and under so much stress trying to make ends meet, and how all of that came crushing down on him. And then he said that in the midst of his pressure, he reached out to God. And he said, and God gave him the capacity to let go of what he was thinking, to let go of what he was feeling. And when he let go, God gave him peace on the inside. And I said to him, well, that's what I'm talking about in my sermon this coming Sunday. And I told him to read Psalm 40, 1-3, and he read it and he started crying. He said, yes, Daddy, that's my story. What I feel like a champion. I feel like I'm on top of the world. I feel I can do anything because God took care of me when I wasn't able to take care of myself. Sing a new song. Sing a new song and tell your story. I'm out of time and I'm out of breath, but I wish I could sing. Somebody tells me I can't sing, but I wish I could sing. If I could sing, I would sing, oh, how wonderful it is. Jesus promised he'll take care of me. Oh, how marvelous it is. Jesus promised he'll take care of me.
Yes,
I don't have to worry about the things ahead. All I've got to do is live right and believe in what he said. Jesus promised he'll take care of me. I can call him in the morning. I can call him in the middle of the night. And when I call him, he'll make everything all right. Jesus promised. Hallelujah. He'll take care of me.
All right, all right. That's all right.
This is my message to you today, beloved. God can give you a new song. You might think you're in a pit, but don't give up. God knows the pit, and God knows you, and God is right there to lift you out and to establish your goings. I want you to reach out to him in prayer. I want you to reach out to him in your heart. I want you to tell the devil he's a liar. And that what he's telling you about not being able to make it, not being able to handle it, is a lie from the pit of hell. That God says you can make it. That God says he will not fail you. That God says he'll establish your going. And if you let God do it, he'll give you a new song. We extend the invitation to Christ. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. Or you can text us or email us or call us at the church. Visit with one of the ministers and share your story and give your faith to Christ. We extend the invitation. I feel like, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's body and the Lord's blood. Won't you get your elements ready as we prepare for communion?